All right, getting into it today, for all you future nurses out there, we are diving deep into coronary atherosclerosis. You're going to see this one a lot, so we want to make sure that you are totally prepared to handle it.
It's kind of a silent attacker. You know, it develops over years and years, and sometimes without any symptoms at all, but it is the leading cause of cardiovascular disease. So understanding it is really, really important for nursing students.
Okay, so let's break this down.
Yeah.
What is actually happening inside those arteries with coronary atherosclerosis?
So think about the coronary arteries. Those are the ones that supply your heart with that oxygen-rich blood, right? Mm. And imagine them slowly getting clogged up. That's essentially what's happening with coronary atherosclerosis. It's a buildup of fats and cholesterol and all sorts of other substances that form what we call plaque on the inner walls of these arteries.
So it's like as that plaque builds up, it's like a traffic jam in the artery.
Exactly.
Restricting blood flow to the heart.
Yeah. And the tricky thing is that this process can go unnoticed for years. You know, think of it like a slow leak in a pipe. A little bit of buildup may not cause any noticeable issues at first, but over time, as that leak worsens, the pressure builds, and eventually you have a major problem.
So then early detection is key, especially since the early stages might not even have symptoms.
You're absolutely right. That's why it's super, super important to understand those risk factors and knowing what to look for. But before we jump into that, let's take a minute to look at the science behind how this leak actually starts.
Yeah. How does that initial buildup even happen?
So it all begins with injury. An injury to the endothelium, which is that delicate inner lining of the artery. So think of it like a tiny scratch on the inside of a pipe, right?
Okay.
It might seem insignificant at first, but it actually sets off a whole cascade of events.
So what causes that injury in the first place?
Well, a lot of things. Think about the usual suspects, you know, like high blood pressure. You know, it's constantly hammering away at those artery walls.
Oh, yeah.
And then high cholesterol levels, creating kind of a sticky situation. And of course, smoking, which is just introducing all sorts of nasty chemicals into your bloodstream.
It's fascinating how those lifestyle factors have such a profound impact on something so tiny, like the lining of an artery.
It really highlights how interconnected our bodies are and how, you know, even seemingly small things can have this ripple effect.
Yeah.
Now, once that endothelium is injured, inflammation sets in and your body's repair mechanisms, they kick into gear.
So the body is trying to fix the problem, but in doing so, it's actually making things worse.
Yeah, that's the unfortunate irony. Immune cells called macrophages, they rush to the scene.
Okay.
Like tiny little paramedics trying to clean up the mess, right? They engulf the LDL cholesterol, which is the bad cholesterol.
Right.
But in this process, they become engorged and turn into what we call foam cells.
Foam cells? That sounds almost harmless.
I know, right?
Yeah.
But foam cells, they're actually the building blocks of plaque.
Oh, wow.
They start to accumulate along that artery wall, forming those initial fatty streaks.
Mm-hmm.
And as more stuff gets deposited, those streaks grow into full-fledged plaques, narrowing the artery and hindering that blood flow.
So it's like a slow-motion construction project, but like gone wrong.
Yeah.
Building a wall where it shouldn't be.
Perfect analogy. And to make matters even more complicated, those plaques, they're not all created equal, right?
Okay.
Some are stable, like a well-built solid wall, less likely to cause any immediate trouble.
Right.
But some are unstable, almost like a shoddily built wall ready to crumble at any moment.
And those unstable plaques are the ones we really need to worry about.
Exactly. Unstable plaques are much more prone to rupture.
Oh, no.
And when that happens, it's like a dam breaking. It triggers a whole cascade of events leading to a blood clot, which can totally block the artery. And this is actually what causes a heart attack. That heart muscle is starved of oxygen and it starts to die.
This is why understanding this process is so important for all you nursing students out there.
Huh?
You need to be able to connect the dots between those initial risk factors and then the potential consequences down the line.
Yeah.
This isn't just about knowing the textbook definition. It's about really understanding that domino effect.
Absolutely. And speaking of risk factors, those are important to understand too. What makes some individuals more prone to developing this leaky pipe scenario in their arteries?
Okay, let's get into the risk factors. So most people probably know that high cholesterol is a big one, right? But what does that actually mean?
Well, when we talk about high cholesterol, what we're really worried about are high levels of LDL cholesterol. That's the bad cholesterol. Think of it as that sticky, stubborn gunk that clings to your artery walls, forming the foundation of those plaques. But it's not the only culprit.
So it's not just one single factor, but a combination of things that can increase the risk.
Precisely. Think of it like a recipe for disaster. You've got high blood pressure, smoking, diabetes, each one adding to the likelihood of developing atherosclerosis. Uh-huh. And then there's family history, which you can't control, but it's something to be aware of.
So if someone has a family history of heart disease, they need to be extra vigilant about those other risk factors.
Absolutely. It's all about understanding your own personal risk profile, right?
Mm-hmm.
And taking steps to mitigate those factors that you can control. And there's this concept called metabolic syndrome, which is basically a cluster of conditions that, when present together, significantly ramp up your risk.
Okay, what kind of conditions are we talking about?
So we're talking about a large waist circumference, high triglycerides, yeah, which are another type of fat in the blood, low HDL cholesterol.
That's the good cholesterol.
That's the good cholesterol, the one that helps clear out the LDL. Wow. High blood pressure, elevated fasting glucose, you know, all those things.
So it's like having multiple strikes against you.
Exactly. And then there's inflammation, chronic inflammation, the mm-hmm. kind that's always kind of simmering beneath the surface, right?
Mm-hmm.
That plays a big role in the development of atherosclerosis. Elevated levels of certain markers, like C-reactive protein, can be a sign of increased risk.
So this is starting to sound a bit overwhelming. It seems like there are so many factors at play.
I understand. It can feel like a lot.
Yeah.
But the good news is that we're not powerless against this condition.
Right.
In fact, coronary atherosclerosis is largely preventable.
That is good news.
And this is where you, as future nurses, come in.
It's about empowering our patients to take control of their heart health, right? Arming them with the knowledge and tools to make those positive changes.
Absolutely. And that brings us to one of the most exciting aspects of this deep dive, the power of prevention.
Okay, let's talk about prevention. Now, I know we need to talk about lifestyle changes.
Of course.
But I'm curious about cutting-edge treatments or research. Is there anything that's giving us new hope in the fight against atherosclerosis?
Yeah, we'll definitely get to those exciting advancements. But first, let's start with the foundation, lifestyle modifications.
Okay.
These are really the cornerstones of prevention.
Right.
And they can make a huge impact on reducing risk.
So let's get into those lifestyle changes.
Yeah.
And I think most people know that they should eat healthy and exercise. Mm-hmm. But what does that actually look like when it comes to preventing atherosclerosis?
Oh. So when we say a heart healthy diet, we're talking about moving away from processed foods, sugary drinks,
right,
and too much saturated and trans fat. Instead, we want to focus on foods that are good for your heart and taste good too.
So what are some delicious examples?
Think about the Mediterranean diet. It's not just a diet, it's a lifestyle that emphasizes lots of fresh fruits and vegetables.
Okay.
Whole grains, legumes, nuts, and healthy fats like olive oil.
Okay, I can get on board with that. I love Mediterranean food.
Yeah.
But what's so special about olive oil? I know it's a healthy fat, but are there any benefits for the heart specifically?
So olive oil is full of these things called polyphenols,
which are powerful antioxidants. They can protect your arteries from damage, help reduce inflammation, and improve blood flow.
So it's not just about reducing the bad stuff, it's adding in good stuff.
Exactly.
That actively helps your heart.
You got it. And don't forget those delicious spices that can also be good for your heart.
Oh, yeah.
Turmeric, for example, has anti-inflammatory properties. And cinnamon has been shown to actually improve your cholesterol levels.
So a heart-healthy diet doesn't have to be bland and boring. You can actually enjoy flavorful food.
Absolutely. And let's not forget about exercise. It's not just about losing weight. It's about getting your heart pumping.
Yeah.
And improving blood flow throughout your whole body.
Okay. What kind of exercise are we talking about here? Does it have to be intense workouts at the gym?
Not at all. The key is to find activities that you enjoy.
Yeah.
And can actually stick with, right?
Right.
Aim for at least 30 minutes.
Of moderate intensity activity most days of the week. This could be brisk walking, swimming, dancing, gardening, you know, even taking the stairs instead of the elevator.
It's about making movement part of your daily life, not just something you dread.
Exactly. And, you know, don't underestimate those small changes. Even adding a 10-minute walk into your routine can make a difference.
This is great information for all our future nurses out there.
Mm-hmm.
You're not just telling your patients to eat healthy and exercise. You're giving them actual concrete examples and practical tips
right,
that they can actually use in their lives.
It's all about empowering them to make sustainable changes. And while lifestyle modifications are the foundation, sometimes we do need a little extra help.
You're talking about medication, specifically statins.
Yes.
Which I know are commonly prescribed to lower cholesterol.
Exactly. Statins are often the first line of defense when it comes to high cholesterol. They work by blocking an enzyme in the liver that's involved in cholesterol production.
So they basically reduce the amount of that bad cholesterol in the bloodstream. So it's less likely to build up in the arteries.
You got it.
Yeah.
But it's important to remember that medication is only one piece of the puzzle, right?
Yeah.
It's not a magic bullet.
Right.
It has to be combined with those lifestyle changes.
Right. The foundation.
You're the best results.
Of course, we can't forget about smoking cessation.
Absolutely. Smoking is like pouring gasoline on a fire when it comes to atherosclerosis.
Wow.
It damages that lining of your arteries, increases blood pressure,
right,
makes it harder for your heart to get the oxygen it needs. Quitting smoking is one of the absolute best things you can do to improve your cardiovascular health.
I know it's not easy, but the benefits are immense. And the good news is there are tons of resources and support systems to help people quit successfully.
Yeah. And the best part is that those benefits start kicking in almost immediately. Within a few hours of quitting, your blood pressure and heart rate start to go back to normal.
So even small steps can make a big difference. This is great information for nursing students.
Yeah. And remember, this is just the start of our deep dive into coronary atherosclerosis. There's so much more to explore.
Welcome back to our deep dive into coronary atherosclerosis. Before we moved on to prevention, we were discussing how crucial it is for nurses to understand not only the science behind this condition, but how to effectively communicate that knowledge to their patients.
Yeah, that's a really good point. You know, you can have all the knowledge in the world, but if you can't explain it to your patients in a way they understand and can act on, it's not very helpful.
Right.
Right.
So how can nursing students who are, you know, still kind of learning the ropes, how can they develop those communication skills and become effective patient educators?
Well, one of the most important things is to remember that every patient is different. You know, they come from different backgrounds and they have different levels of health literacy and different fears and motivations.
It's about meeting the patient where they are, literally and figuratively.
Right. Exactly. So don't just launch into a lecture about, you know, cholesterol and plaque. Start by asking open-ended questions like, you know, what are your concerns about your heart health? Or what are some of the challenges you face in making healthy choices?
Okay, so it's more about creating a dialogue than just delivering a monologue.
Precisely. And as you listen to their answers, pay attention to their nonverbal cues too. You know, their tone of voice, their body language. These things can tell you just as much as their words.
It's almost like being a detective.
Yes.
Trying to piece together the clues.
Exactly.
Understand what's really going on with the patient.
That's a great analogy. You're trying to understand their beliefs, their values, what motivates them.
Right.
And once you understand those, you can tailor your education to their specific needs.
So for example, if a patient is really motivated by the idea of, you know, being around for their grandchildren, you might focus on how making healthy choices can help them achieve that goal.
Exactly. You're tapping into what matters most to them,
right,
making the information personal and relevant. And remember, small changes can have a big impact. Don't overwhelm them with a huge list of things to change all at once.
Yeah.
Right?
Little baby steps.
Baby steps.
Build up to it.
Exactly. Setting achievable goals that build confidence and momentum.
Yeah. And don't forget about positive reinforcement.
Oh, that's so important.
You know, celebrate their successes, no matter how small they are.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, it could be really motivating for a patient to hear, you know, hey, you're doing great. I can see you're really making an effort.
Those words of encouragement can go a long way.
Definitely, especially for someone who's struggling to make changes.
Absolutely. And for nursing students, you know, who are still building their confidence, it's okay to not have all the answers.
Oh, for sure.
Right. Don't be afraid to ask for help.
Yeah.
You know, for more experienced nurses or to look to reliable resources.
It's all about continuous learning.
Yes.
Even for seasoned nurses.
That's cool.
They're constantly expanding their knowledge and refining their skills.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And speaking of learning, let's shift gears a little bit and talk about some of the tools that we use to assess coronary atherosclerosis. This is really crucial for nursing students because you'll be involved in these procedures and educating patients about what to expect and helping them interpret the results.
Okay, so how do we actually see what's going on inside those arteries?
Well, we have a number of imaging techniques that can give us really valuable insights. One of the most common is an electrocardiogram or an EKG.
Okay.
It's a really simple, non-invasive test that measures the heart's electrical activity.
So it's like a window into the heart's rhythm, and it can help us detect any irregularities.
Precisely. But while an EKG can tell us if there's a problem, it doesn't actually show us the arteries themselves.
Right.
For that, we need more specialized imaging.
So what are some of those specialized imaging techniques?
Well, one option is an echocardiogram, or echo, which uses sound waves to create moving pictures of the heart, showing us its structure and how well it's functioning. So we can see how well the heart is pumping, if any of the valves are leaking, you know, all those kinds of things.
So with an echo, we can see if the heart muscle is actually being affected by that reduced blood flow.
Exactly. And then there's coronary angiography, which is kind of the gold standard for visualizing the coronary arteries. This involves injecting a special dye into the arteries and then taking x-rays.
I remember seeing this on like a medical drama once. It looked pretty intense.
It's definitely more invasive than an EKG or echo.
Right.
But it provides these amazingly detailed images of the arteries, showing us any blockages or narrowing or other abnormalities.
So it's like a roadmap of the heart's highways, showing us exactly where the problems are.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And then we have even more advanced techniques like coronary computed tomography and angiography.
Wow, that's a mouthful.
I know, right?
Okay.
Or CCTA for short, which uses CT scans to create three-dimensional images of the heart and blood vessels.
It's amazing how far technology has come. I mean, we can learn so much about what's going on inside the body without having to do open heart surgery.
It's really remarkable, right? And these advancements in diagnostic technology have totally changed the way we detect and treat coronary atherosclerosis.
So for our future nurses out there, what's the key takeaway when it comes to diagnostics?
It's important to understand the different tools available and the kind of information they provide.
Right.
You need to be able to explain these tests to your patients clearly so they understand.
Right.
And in a way that's reassuring, helping them feel informed and in control of their own care.
This goes back to what we were saying before about good communication, right?
Absolutely.
A nurse who can explain a complex procedure, you know, in simple terms that the patient can understand, that can make a world of difference.
Yes, it really can.
To a patient who might be feeling anxious and uncertain.
Absolutely. Building that trust and that rapport is essential. So once we've diagnosed coronary atherosclerosis, the next step is figuring out the best course of treatment.
Okay, let's talk about those treatment options. We've already talked about lifestyle modifications being so important. But what about cases where those alone aren't enough?
Well, in those cases, we often turn to medication. Statins, like we mentioned earlier, are very effective at lowering LDL cholesterol.
Right. And there are other medications that can help control blood pressure, blood sugar, and inflammation, all things that play a role in the development of atherosclerosis.
Exactly. It's about managing those risk factors very aggressively. And in some cases, you know, more invasive procedures might be necessary.
Like what kind of procedures?
Well, one option is angioplasty, where a tiny balloon is inserted into the blocked artery to widen it.
So it's like unclogging a drain pipe, but instead of a plumber's snake, we're using a tiny balloon.
That's a great way to put it. And often a stent, which is a small mesh-like tube, is put in the artery to keep it open.
So it's like a little scaffold that helps support the artery wall.
Exactly. And in more severe cases, coronary artery bypass surgery might be needed. This is a major surgery where we take a healthy blood vessel from another part of the body and use it to create a detour around the blockage.
So it's like building a bypass road around a traffic jam.
Precisely. You know, it's a major procedure, but it can be life-saving for patients with very extensive blockages.
So it's amazing how many options we have for treating this condition.
It is.
It really highlights the importance of individualized care, doesn't it?
Absolutely. There's no one-size-fits-all
approach,
right? The best treatment plan will always depend on the individual patient's needs, how severe their condition is, and their overall health.
And this is where the role of the nurse becomes even more important.
Yes.
Right? Advocating for the patient, educating them about their options, and helping them to navigate the often really complex healthcare system.
You hit the nail on the head. Nurses are the ones who are often spending the most time with the patient, you know, building that relationship and providing that essential support.
It's a reminder that nursing is so much more than just following doctor's orders.
Oh, absolutely.
You're a patient advocate. You're a teacher.
Yes.
A confidant. A source of strength and hope.
Beautifully said. And speaking of hope, let's talk about some of the exciting developments in atherosclerosis research.
Yes, I'm excited to hear about any breakthroughs that are giving us new weapons in the fight against this condition. Are there any promising new treatments or technologies on the horizon?
There are, there are some really fascinating areas of research emerging. One area that's generating a lot of excitement is the role of inflammation in atherosclerosis. So scientists are working on new therapies that specifically target inflammatory pathways.
So it's not just about lowering cholesterol anymore.
Right.
We're looking at the underlying mechanisms
exactly.
that are driving this whole disease process.
We're starting to understand that complex interplay of factors that contribute to plaque formation. And another really cool area of research is gene therapy.
Gene therapy, okay. That sounds pretty futuristic. What's the potential there?
So researchers are looking at ways to deliver genes that can either promote the growth of new blood vessels or actually prevent plaque buildup in the first place. Imagine being able to reprogram the body's cells to fight atherosclerosis at the genetic level.
That'd be incredible.
Yeah.
What about stem cell therapy?
Yeah.
I've heard a lot about the potential of stem cells to regenerate damaged tissues.
So there are some early studies that suggest that stem cells could be used to repair that damaged heart tissue or help grow new blood vessels. It's still very early.
Yeah.
But the potential is definitely there.
This is really inspiring. It gives me hope that we're going to continue to make, you know, big strides in preventing and treating atherosclerosis.
It's a really exciting time to be involved in cardiovascular care, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And for all you nursing students out there who are just beginning your careers, it's an awesome opportunity to be a part of this evolving field.
Knowing that there are so many bright people working on new solutions, it gives me a sense of optimism. Like we're on the verge of some truly groundbreaking discoveries.
I agree. And as we start to wrap up this deep dive, I want to say that it's this spirit of curiosity, this thirst for knowledge that will drive those breakthroughs.
So for our listeners who are embarking on their nursing journeys, embrace the challenge.
Yes.
Ask the questions and never stop learning.
The heart, both literally and figuratively, is just fascinating and complex.
Yeah.
And the more we understand it, the better equipped we'll be to care for our patients and ourselves.
And on that note, we'll conclude part two of our deep dive into coronary atherosclerosis.
Mm.
We've really covered a lot of ground, you know, from how plaque forms to the latest advancements in research.
Yeah, we've only just scratched the surface.
Right. There's so much more to explore and learn and discover.
Definitely.
Be sure to join us for part three, where we'll wrap things up with some final thoughts and key takeaways for our future nurses. Welcome back to the deep dive. It feels like we've been on this incredible journey exploring coronary atherosclerosis, hasn't it?
It really has, from those tiny little injuries to the endothelium, all the way to, you know, gene therapy and stem cells and how they might change treatment in the future.
Yeah, it's been quite a ride through the cardiovascular system.
It has.
And for our nursing students listening out there, I hope this deep dive has really given you a solid understanding of this complex condition.
Yeah, me too.
We've covered so much. How the disease works, risk factors, prevention, the different diagnostic tools, treatment options, and even what exciting research is coming down the pipeline.
And while we've covered a ton of information, I think there are a few key takeaways that are especially important for future nurses like yourselves.
Okay, let's highlight those key takeaways. What are the most important things our listeners should remember as they get ready to start their nursing careers?
I think first and foremost, it's important to remember that coronary atherosclerosis is a serious health concern, but it's largely preventable.
Yeah, that goes back to what we talked about earlier about empowering patients to take control of their heart health.
Exactly.
Through lifestyle modifications.
And that's where you as nurses come in.
Right.
You'll be the ones on the front lines educating patients about those things they can change. Their diet, how much they exercise, quitting smoking.
Right.
You know, helping them make those small but important changes that can have a big impact on their long-term health.
But it's not just about, you know, handing them a brochure on healthy eating.
Right.
It's about getting to know their individual circumstances, their struggles, what motivates them.
Yeah, meeting them where they are and working together to come up with a plan that's realistic and that they can actually stick with. Remember, changing behavior is a process. It's not something that happens overnight.
Right.
It takes time and patience and support.
And don't forget about those less common symptoms. You know, it's important to be aware of all the different ways that this condition can show up, especially in women, older adults, and people with diabetes.
Absolutely. Don't just focus on, you know, the classic image of a man clutching his chest. Coronary atherosclerosis can be sneaky, and as nurses, you really have to be aware of those less obvious signs.
This highlights just how important it is to really do those thorough patient assessments.
Yes.
Asking good questions and listening to your patients, not just what they're saying, but also their body language.
Exactly. Being attentive and putting the pieces together. That could actually save a life.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're not sure about something, Never be afraid to ask a more experienced nurse or look at a trusted resource.
Absolutely. Speaking of resources, there are so many great tools available to nurses, you know, both in books and online.
Oh, yeah.
Textbooks, journals, professional organizations like the American Heart Association.
Yeah.
The information is out there.
Definitely. And don't forget about finding mentors.
Yeah.
You know, seek out those experienced nurses who can guide you, answer your questions, and share what they've learned from their years of practice. Learning from people who have been there is so valuable.
Yeah, it's all about continuously learning, isn't it?
Yeah.
Healthcare is constantly changing and new things are being discovered all the time.
Absolutely. So as you start your nursing careers, embrace that curiosity, never stop asking questions, and keep learning new things.
Right.
You know, the heart, both literally and figuratively, is just fascinating and complex.
It is.
And the more we know about it, the better we can care for our patients and ourselves.
Well said. And on that note, we'll wrap up our deep dive into coronary atherosclerosis. We hope this has been informative and insightful for everyone.
Yeah, and inspiring, too.
To all of our future nurses out there, remember, you can make a real difference in the lives of your patients by teaching them, advocating for them, and giving them the tools to take control of their heart health. You can really be a force for good.
You really can.
And that's pretty amazing. Until next time, keep learning, keep exploring, and keep those hearts healthy.